The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
James Franklin, the hottest coach early in the carousel, that's before his entire season imploded, has just agreed to a 10-year contract extension at Penn State. A Jimbo Fisher-like contract, $80 million guaranteed, and his name is off, so Cincinnati fans have to feel good. Luke Fickell was clearly going to be the favorite to take his place if Franklin ended up leaving. And lost in all the shuffle, we're 2 hours away from the CFP selection show, and I don't think it's even come up other than in the very beginning of the show. Let's check out Troy, who is up next. Hello, Troy.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to share some thoughts of mine about Dan Mullen. I see some reflection of what's happened in the Florida program to what happened to the Georgia program in the early to mid-'80s. If you remember, Jan Kemp. Yeah, Jan Kemp.
She nearly wrecked the program, you're right.
That's right. For about 10 years, Georgia was, they weren't destroyed from a football program, but they were disadvantaged significantly by that event, and it was all an academic versus a sports event, because the Dogs were so successful, and the requirements for the football players to enter the program of a university like Georgia less than what maybe somebody normally would. And I don't know the details to reconcile those, but I saw Dan Mullen do a great job against Alabama in the SEC championship game this year also. And he's done such an incredible job at Mississippi State for years. And it was...
But you know something, Troy, we no longer live in a cumulative world where, you know, what you do, it's just all about where you are at that moment in time. And, you know, I don't think we know all exactly what happened, but I would argue that the clock has been ticking for Dan Mullen for longer than anybody down there has reported. There are a couple of things that kept popping up, and I think by and large, most of us just looked right past it. And then when things went haywire on the field, all of those things coalesced. Much like Ed Orgeron, they're very similar stories in some respects. They both started disintegrating about a year and a half ago. I know people like to think all we do in the media is look under rocks and focus on the negative, but we tend in football parlance to let some of that stuff stew or marinate. And when things start to spiral out of control, they come bubbling back to the top. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Mike, who is in Kentucky. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Okay, Mike.
All right. Let's talk about the Georgia Bulldogs here for a minute, all right? I'm going to jump a week into championship weekend. Let me let you in on a little fun fact, Paul. Georgia hasn't played a quarterback that ranks in the top 20 nationally in yards, efficiency, nothing all year.
Hey Mike, can I ask you one question? Mike, one question.
Sure, go ahead.
Because I'm just doing this from a historical standpoint. You're an Alabama fan, correct?
Correct.
And on the Tuesday of the Iron Bowl, you're asking me a Georgia question.
Yeah, I'm not really concerned with Georgia this year. I'll probably know I won't be able to get into your show next week, but I keep hearing people sit all year long
about
Georgia's defense.
Whatever happened to the Iron Bowl being the game that people talked about 365 days a year? Remember the good old days when that was a line that we uttered in Alabama?
Yeah, I remember that, Paul. Why are you trying to change the subject?
Well, because I really don't want to talk about the Georgia game this week. I want to talk about the games that are being played Saturday. That's how I feel. And we will be in Auburn on Friday talking to many of the key figures, part of the storied Iron Bowl. I don't call me crazy, but I'm just not. I know that game is looming, but I think it's disrespectful to this weekend's game just to start postulating or pontificating about that. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Cody is in Kentucky. Hello, Cody.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
I always told myself I would never ask you that because every person asks you that when they call in. But
well, Cody, one day I may actually tell the truth.
not have a nice remark. I just tell you how you really feel. I want to talk about we got coaching changes. You know, Dan Mullen and SEC jobs open. And you mentioned earlier we don't live in a cumulative world anymore as far as coaching. And, you know, as a coach myself, high school level and 1 year of college, that kind of bothers me, because the old adage is history repeats itself. Well, when are we going to repeat itself? I mean, you look at guys like James Franklin, that at one time was a name out there, but, now he's signed the extension. But even people like Harbaugh, that he's never beat Ohio State but he's had success. And, even the great Joe Pa. I mean, Joe Pa is the best one of the best coaches of all time. You can debate it. He might be the best, depending on who you ask. But even he had about, 10 or 11 seasons where he won less than 8 games. And, I mean, there's only one GOAT. There's only one Nick Saban. There's only one guy that, maybe a handful that if you could make a video game and build your coaching dynasty, that's who you choose. And everybody else, you got to understand, you got to take success where you get it. What do you think about that?
No, I think you're right. And listen, I feel, thank you very much for the call, Cody, and you be well. I feel some responsibility, not me personally, but what I do, because we tend to fixate on things. But ultimately, it's not my decision. It's athletic director's decision. And the same guy who we all said 4 weeks ago wouldn't fire Dan Mullen fired him on Sunday. Why? Because, was it self-preservation? And that's why I really, when Mullen fired the two coaches a couple weeks ago, it rubbed me the wrong way. It just seemed like he was doing what all coaches do, throw your friends overboard to save yourself. And you have to ask the question, is that what Scott Strickland did on Sunday? Let's check in with Jim, who is up next.
Well, you just said he you reap what you sow.
So true.
Paul, we mentioned GOAT, and now you got the GOAT.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Of course, I'm saying that.
Jim, I have to tell you, somebody asked me, I was in Birmingham yesterday, I was speaking to a group, and somebody asked me about you.
Tell me about it. Yeah, let's hear this.
Yeah, it was a question after the speech, and the guy asked me, something about do I know you? What do I think of you? And I said, hey, page 54. What else
okay,
can I say?
Come on with it, Paul. Put it out there. What'd you say, negative or positive? What'd you say?
Well, I said page 54. I described you as the
clever. You're so you are clever. You are a politician. You don't need to be one. You are one. Paul, here's the thing I called about. Though I didn't call about it. Paul, you miss Jeff. You miss Jeff. I can tell you really miss him.
Well, I miss Jeff on a week like this when, we have his game.
Yeah, I can tell when the guy Jack called about 20 minutes ago and you said, let's go to Jeff. Here's Jeff. And a little excited. And now this is Jack, not Jeff. I knew you missed Jeff, Paul.
Jim, you know me. I mean, I want.
I do know you.
I want callers like that.
Well, certainly you should want callers like that. I mean, he brings the house.
See,
the reason
why, Jim, is I'm not really all that talented. I'm a button pusher. I don't do any. I don't analyze. I don't break down. I just push buttons, and I need good callers to make me look adequate.
Hey, Paul, we understand that. We understand that. You don't need Monday's crew running the show in the ground. I'm telling you, everybody agreed on that.
Hold on a second, Jim. First of all, I owe a great debt of gratitude to Cole and Greg because I think they came in here and brought great expertise.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what I think. I think Cubes and Rams would be way above them as a replacement crew.
Well, you know what? I happen to agree with you on that. I think Mark and Danny would be a very entered. I don't know why we don't do that sometime.
I don't either. You get a lot of action. I promise you, you get me. You sure get me, and you get a few others.
Well,
Keith,
but,
I love Keith,
you know,
man. I really
do.
The
problem, Jim, is the suits make those decisions. I'm just a...
Okay, now we're getting down to the truth.
Yeah, I mean,
finally,
I
walk
in every day,
I,
just like I did back when I was, back in the day, I punch my clock, I go to my locker and put on these silly clothes. And,
your locker, what's in your locker, Paul? Stale fruitcake?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, before Claxton's. I screw this call up, happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody, and even Browns, and especially Cubes. I love Cubesy. Cubes is a great producer.
Yeah,
really,
you know,
is.
Jim, I'm so interested in the relationship that you've now developed with Mark Kubiak, because
it started when things went bad, and I called and I don't know how it worked, but Cubes was very nice, and he said he said you're good on the air, I want you on, I'll get you on, something to that effect. I'm not verbatim exactly what he said, but something to that effect. And then we started talking, and then every time I had a problem, I could go to Cubes. Cubes, I'm telling you, Cubes is real. He's good. He really, I mean, he really a smart guy. Got a lot of personality.
Hey, Jim, do you know who I saw yesterday?
He really is.
You know who I saw yesterday?
Huh?
I saw the original co-host of this program.
Wait a minute. Let me think. Oh no, you didn't see Neil Vickers.
No.
Bob Lockamy.
Bob Lockamy. I saw Bob.
Now see, I didn't listen back then, but he is a very, very, very nice man. I've talked to him off there, you know, a few times, and all I can tell you is, you can't find a more gentlemanly, kind, nice man than he is.
You're 100% correct. Hey, well, Jim, thanks for the call. Kubiak is telling me to wrap this up. We got to go to a break. We're coming. The same guy that you're just praising is cutting your call off. We are coming back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Let's continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Bill is in Washington. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing great, Paul. Thank you. I wanted to pick your brain and see what you thought about Georgia. I'm a Georgia fan. I'm born and raised in Georgia, but I moved out here to Washington after I got out of the military. But let's see what you thought about Georgia picking up Dan Mullen like they did Will Muschamp.
I think it's highly unlikely for this reason. I think Dan Mullen is going to try and get another head coaching job, and I think he has a reasonable chance of getting it. I mean, look at Malzahn last year. He got fired. He had a job in 2 weeks. I think that's the smart thing to do. You get your money. You walk away with $12 million. You don't have to work. But I think to be relevant, you have to get a job. And there are going to be a lot of openings. And the one thing that we don't think about is all these openings that we talk about, those openings are going to create other openings. Trickle-down effect, obviously. Let's check in with Cheerleader in Birmingham. Hello, Cheerleader.
Hey, Paul, how you doing on this fine week? I'm getting excited.
Now, Cheerleader, let me ask you a question. I'm walking down.
All right.
Did I run into your son yesterday?
He was at the quarterback club meeting.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm walking outside, and I think he told me his mom was cheerleader. I don't know if he said his mom was a cheerleader or his mom was cheerleader.
No. He was a handsome guy named Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
And he told his – Tommy and Charlie were at the meeting, and they said you did a great job. And Charlie looked at Tom and said, "Hey, I'm going to stand up and say my mom is cheerleading." He said, "You better not."
Well, he did tell me outside.
Yeah, well, hot dog. Well, he's a good kid, and he's got a lot of energy, just like his mama.
I bet.
A lot of good smarts. But
that's
let me tell you something. I got a deal for Florida.
Okay.
It seems like money.
They tell a lot of coaches. Money has gotten in the way of these people coaching. They can't get over it. You don't need to be paid until you prove what you can do.
But Cheerleader, you know that. I mean, you deal in real estate. I mean, money affects all of us, sometimes differently,
yes,
whether we
does.
Have a lot or a little. And it's sad. I don't think coaches coach for money. I think these are a very competitive group of people, but they're motivated by different things. And sometimes personality does matter. Thank you for the call. Let's talk to Hollywood next in Georgia. Hello, Hollywood.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Go Dawgs. Hey, this week would be a nice gesture from you if you give a shout out to the late Miss Tammy. You know this would be her week, and I miss the comments she'd have for those Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Hollywood. It was, I think it was 3 years ago last week when we heard about her passing. And I you know, we'll be at Auburn on Friday, and it was 5 or 6 years ago, like whenever we were down. We've been down there almost every year. So Tammy came on and did our show, and it was one of the funniest things we've ever done. But she did not do that very often, but a couple of different times over the years she would show up, and we would put her on the spot. And it was a classic show. Hey, thank you for mentioning her. Let's check in with Dennis.
What's your name?
Who is in Texas. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great, great. My brother and I had a question about what was the first university or college that gave a coach a buyout clause?
I really don't know the answer, but do you?
No, we did a Google and we can't find an answer on Google. Isn't that amazing?
I know it's been going on for some time, and basically what it's called a two-way buyout, where if you leave, it will cost you this, and because of that, if we fire you, we will pay you. And there's a story, and we were good friends, and I'll never forget having this conversation. Auburn people, of course, and many others remember Pat Sullivan, and Pat Sullivan was the coach at TCU, and this was in the mid 90s. And I think he later recruited LaDainian Tomlinson, which Dennis Franchione and later Gary Patterson did quite well off of. He was offered the LSU job. I believe this was 1994, maybe. And he was going to accept it. And all of a sudden, can't remember what his buyout was, maybe $1 million, maybe $2 million. And he was hoping that LSU would help pay for it. That's usually how it works. And they said, we can't afford it. And he ended up not taking the job, which he would have been a natural. This is a guy that won the Heisman Trophy at Auburn in, I believe it was 1971. He would have just been brilliant in the SEC. He stayed at TCU a couple of years. It fell apart. Never got another head coaching job again. And I don't mean to trivialize money. I couldn't have afforded it. Most of us couldn't have afforded that kind of money at the time. But he probably could have found it had he looked hard enough from some of his old friends. That's the first time I remember hearing about one of these buyouts. We are heading to a break. Pete Thamel, who knows more than pretty much anyone on coaching searches, will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Let's continue with more phone calls at 855-242-7285. Pete Thamel joining us in just a few minutes. Legend is up next. Hello, Legend.
Hey, Coach, what's up, my friend?
Doing great. Thank you.
Hey, man, I appreciate you taking my call, man. I appreciate it. Hey, Paul, we had that pig on the grill, but it kept getting off Saturday night, baby.
That was a little disturbing.
Yeah, it was a little disturbing. I cussed Pete Golden out about 20 times in between cussing Bill O'Brien out. Even though Bill O'Brien,
Legend, hold your thought. I don't want to lose you, but I don't know if I'm doing this right, but somebody can put him on hold. I don't want to get too deep into a Legend call because I missed a look down and didn't see that we were ready to go now with our guest, Pete Thamel. Pete Thamel joining us from Yahoo. Pete, great to have you on. The big news of this day, it's still early, I might add, is James Franklin signing 10-year, lifetime. It doesn't matter nowadays in college football, but good afternoon and tell us what you know about that and what it means to other schools who we all thought James may be heading toward.
Well, we've all heard about pucker power, right? In the NCAA tournament, Paul, or when you're a big favorite in an important game. I think that James Franklin being off the board adds a little bit to the pucker power of these athletic directors trying to find a new coach, because James Franklin is someone who is at least vetted and considered at LSU, Florida, and USC. So it's one giant chess piece removed from all this. And it just, if he had walked to the podium at a press conference at all three of those schools, that would have been approved generally as a good hire. And there's just only so many movable high-end coaches available. And that the thought was until this that James Franklin may have fallen in that category. And now he's off the board. And I've written this a couple times on Yahoo. There are going to be some athletic director at one of these bigger jobs who ends up without a very desirable chair when the music stops. And James Franklin's an excellent coach. He's won the Big Ten. He's won in the SEC at Vanderbilt. You certainly remember him resuscitating that program from the ashes and then watching it return to the ashes pretty quickly after. And I really feel like this is a really interesting ripple. And it's, I think, Paul, a byproduct of, we've seen this trend where everyone's in a rush to fire their coach so they can run a search. Well, you know, those ripples are felt on campuses, so there's going to be now a rush to extend quality coaches at different places. We saw Jeff Traylor get a long extension at UTSA when the Texas Tech job opened. We saw PJ Fleck take a long extension at Minnesota. He would certainly have been bandied around for some of these jobs, and now we've seen James. I think somebody needs to send Scott Woodward an economic stimulus award from the White House for helping distribute so much money through the economy.
Well, knowing Scott's connections to politics, that very well could happen. Pete, I think there has to be a way of answering this question other than answering Jimmy Sexton, but which coach on the board or that maybe we haven't even thought of? I mean, who is the most powerful chess piece out there right now that could start impacting these coaching searches? We're just 3 or 4 days away from, I think, a lot of the starting to really, really kick in.
Sure. Well, I think because of timing, Paul, and quite frankly, they haven't had that great of a season, I think Matt Campbell becomes a really important, person in this carousel. I think both, especially at USC and at Florida, there's been interest in Matt Campbell. He's kind of a new age coach, culture warrior. And look, he got Ohio State to win the Fiesta Bowl. He got Iowa State to win the Fiesta Bowl. Ohio State's won plenty of Fiesta Bowls. Iowa State winning the Fiesta Bowl is not easy to do. And so, while some of that luster may have faded with a pretty mediocre season there in Ames, he's obviously... In the dynamics of the Big 12 have changed pretty dramatically too. With Matt, with obviously Oklahoma and Texas leaving, I really feel like he's a very movable coach who's going to have options in this cycle. So I think it starts there, and I think Billy Napier is really going to be able to end up in a very plum job. Timing is tricky, obviously, because they're going to be playing in the Sun Belt title game, not this Saturday, but next Saturday. But I really feel like he's going to end up at either like a Florida or a Virginia Tech or somewhere that that's an excellent job and probably looks smart in avoiding Auburn and South Carolina like he did last year. So those are two pretty big pieces. I'm not convinced Dave Aranda is going to leave Baylor like some people are. I just he is not wired like your typical football coach. So yeah, the names are quickly getting swept off the board in some ways. And it's going to be really interesting, moving forward here, who ends up all of a sudden getting hot late? Is it Dave Clawson at Wake Forest? Is it Bill O'Brien, who was obviously the head coach at Penn State, who was a really good NFL coach for a long period of time? Where do the answers come from?
Pete, you've mentioned quite a few names, and I mentioned some of these jobs are going to fill, and obviously those who don't fill, I think you can start using deductive reasoning to see, okay, well, that guy's obviously waiting a week because he's in a championship game. But let me go back to LSU, the school we've been talking about, not nearly as long as Southern Cal, but not far behind. What is the latest there?
It's interesting, and I think timing-wise, one name we haven't talked about yet is Luke Fickle, and they're two touchdown favorites against East Carolina. They'll be favorites against a very good Houston team that could beat them in the AAC title game, but I have a hard time seeing Luke Fickle or any coach of any team that makes the college football playoff moving, because it's really hard to do that when you're going to try to win a national championship and you play your last game on whatever, December 4th, and then your playoff game is December 31st, signing day's in the middle. It would be a huge risk for an athletic director without sort of an ironclad backroom deal to go after a coach like that. And then the timing would be awkward too, like you said, Paul. When you have a season ending and then this job that's been open for a very long period of time just stays open and there's really no movement, there's no interviews. I mean, sometimes guys run fake searches just to make it look like they're running searches, which is always funny. So, yeah, I really feel like just the transparency of this media era would make it really hard for a coach to go look his team in the eye every day for a month and say, hey, I'm putting everything into this game, while he already has an exit plan to walk out the door. So that's a long way to say, Paul, I think LSU opened October 13th, something like that. If it's not Jimbo Fisher, and we've obviously heard, what his thoughts have been publicly about that, I have no clue who LSU hires. I would just be very blunt about that.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I had somebody ask me today, a friend who was just texting, and I said the same thing. At this point, I know less than I did 2 months ago when I knew it was going to be Mel Tucker, of course. Jimbo Fisher and Lincoln Riley's name continue to come up for jobs. I don't understand it. I'm asking you to explain it.
I don't think Lincoln Riley leaves Oklahoma. I think Jimbo Fisher is going to have to say no to Scott Woodward. That's what Scott Woodward has wanted all along. I've said it multiple times on your show in the past couple months. I mean, that is, and I've written it multiple times at Yahoo, that is the target. And I think where Scott Woodward moves from that target becomes really the most fascinating question in the sport. If Jimbo Fisher does say no, I mean, look, people at Texas A&M don't want to hear this. LSU is an exponentially better job. And I looked it up, actually. I tried to come up with this on your show last time. I believe the last time, this is according to Wikipedia, my favorite fake news source, the last time that Texas A&M won a national title was 1939, right? And the last three LSU coaches have won national titles. So, and look, Texas A&M is a very good job. It's a very good place. It's an awesome place to see a game. It's an awesome experience. They care. They have passion. It's in a fertile recruiting base. But it is not the same caliber of job as LSU, as results would dictate. So I think A&M's won like one conference championship, and it's been a very long time since they've won the second. So, look, Jimbo Fisher said what he said out loud. I certainly, you're put in a place where you have to say that kind of stuff, right? And he has a great recruiting class, and maybe he can be the one who does it at A&M. I don't know, but I just think that, and I've said this and I've written, and until he's not, until someone else has walked up to the podium there, I consider him the favorite.
Well, Scott Woodward and Jimbo Fisher will be at the same locale on Saturday night. So when the game is over, they did this with Les Miles a couple of years ago. They announced that he was staying. Maybe something can happen. One or two other names quickly. I know we're taking up a lot of your time, but Lane Kiffin gets mentioned for a bunch of jobs. Do you see him being part of this carousel?
Sure. I mean, like, you wonder, I mean, Lane Kiffin is a very gifted offensive coach, and he's shown that pretty much everywhere he's gone. Lane Kiffin in Miami would be a lot of fun to see. It would make Miami interesting, which it really hasn't been in a very long period of time, other than that little turnover chain flash that we saw about 5 years ago. That's a part of the world that Lane Kiffin has lived in and is comfortable in, has a home down there. You know, you're talking carousel when you mention somebody's beach house or house on the water, right? And I would think that that Lane Kiffin to Miami makes a lot of sense for both parties. Miami's always been a place that's been a little edgy, as I don't need to remind you, Paul, for the countless hours of programming Lane has provided you, that there's an edginess to him, and he could really go there and win. So I really feel like Lane Kiffin to Miami is something that could happen. Now, it's always hard to project who's going to get a job when you don't know who's going to make the hire, and we're still at that point in Miami where we don't know who the athletic director is quite yet, and we probably will know that within the next week. They want to put the AD in place before they put, you know, the coach in place there. So we will, you know, there's no certainties in projecting a job when there's no athletic director.
Pete, before you go, and this is a strange question. I have not asked this question in about 5 years, but do you see Dan Mullen landing someplace?
Look, I think Dan Mullen's an excellent football coach, Paul. And I mean, his record until one of his players threw a shoe last year in the program spiraled is a very high end record. I mean, like, take a job like Arizona State that could end up opening out west. Like, boy, do you take the Mountain West hot coach du jour or do you go Dan Mullen? Look, Mullen's always had an interest in the NFL, and obviously he could not, you know, be hired as a head coach in the NFL right now, but he certainly, you know, has the financial security from his going away package at Florida to go give the NFL a shot in some way. He's an excellent play caller. He's a developer of quarterbacks, and in a league that, you know, is trotting out some Taylor Heinickes and a guy from Eastern Kentucky, Boyle, I believe, started for the Lions this weekend that I never heard of. Like, there's not a glut of quarterback whisperers. So, if I had to guess right now, my projection would be that's where Dan Mullen goes and maybe gives that league a shot.
Well done. Pete, always great to have you on. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Paul.
The one and only Pete Thamel, as plugged in as anybody. You heard him. We didn't go school to school. It was easier going coach to coach, but pretty good synopsis of where we are. We have another hour and change to go and more of your phone calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Legend, you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, go right ahead. You're back on the air.
I always talk about Arkansas. But let me say, Paul, it's good to have our starting quarterback, brother. Man, it's good to have our starting quarterback back, brother. Man. You know, the backup can come in and do a good job, but you're always glad to see Aaron Rodgers. Hey, Paul, can I tell you to give some advice to your boy, Opie?
Sure.
I like Greg. He's one of the best play-by-play guys out there. But the dude's talk too much, Paul. The guy can talk a whole segment by himself. You know, I got to work with some great radio people over the years. You, Kip Kiefer, Tony Curry. And the one thing they always told me was, 30 seconds, send it to the next guy. 30 seconds, send it to the next guy. Boom, 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 boom. Combination. Don't talk 5 minutes. Don't talk 5 minutes. Hey, Paul, you remember Gary Anderson back in the Arkansas days?
Oh, sure.
Man, now that was a hog running back right there, brother. You agree?
Oh, he was, yes.
Yeah, I've been a longtime fan of the Hogs. I got respect for the Hogs. They showed up, Paul. Man, they showed up. But it's Iron Bowl week, baby. It's Iron Bowl week. Woo! You remember what I told you about Coach Hairline when he was first hired?
I do, yes.
I said he would have a meltdown, a breakdown, and eventually a sign in his yard telling him to get the hell out of town. Now, Paul, that honeymoon is over. Don't you agree?
I'd really rather wait till I get down there this week to get a good lay of the land, though, legend.
Oh, in other words, you ain't got the legend backing you up. You're afraid somebody might jump you.
Legend, unfortunately, we're out of time. We'll come back right after this.